study the Word of God and order our lives after the discipline of God rather than surrender to fate or to the silliness of astrology. So we have demon persuasion. We have demon worship in many shapes and forms. And as I've tried to point out to you, some of these things that I've mentioned may seem to be harmless. I'm saying they are not harmless. They are very serious. You're dabbling in that which a Christian has no business dabbling in. And then the extreme, of course, is demon possession. Now, I am not prepared to say in any case, or in every case, or perhaps even in any case, where demon persuasion ends and possession begins. I pointed out this morning from the scriptures that because demons have not been, Satan and his angels, have not been permitted by God to overcome us against our wills, Satan has become a great persuader. This is what I mean by demon persuasion. Satan suggests to us. Satan opens doors for us. Satan invites. Satan entices us to do his will. He cannot command us, at least not at the first. He persuades us. But the time comes that if a man surrenders his will, surrenders his faculties of choice to Satan or into the demons, then the time will come when Satan will cease to be the persuader and begin to be the possessor. In other words, if you turn the meeting over to Satan long enough and let him dictate the program, pretty soon he's chairman. If you follow the persuasion of Satan time and time again, day after day, month after month, year after year, you follow the persuasion of Satan, pretty soon the day may come when he will be in possession. As I said, I am not prepared to say in any particular case or in a general way where persuasion ends and possession begins, because I simply do not have that knowledge. I don't believe you do either, at least not in every case. I may have some pretty good ideas sometimes. But the Bible, and so we come to this thing of demon possession. Now, what are the effects of demon possession? The Bible does not teach that all physical and mental difficulties, that all mental illness or physical illness is caused by the demon world. The Bible does teach that all kinds of illness are caused by demons. In other words, we cannot affirm in every case when a man is sick that this has been caused by demons, but all kinds of sickness. And the Bible very clearly distinguishes between sicknesses which are organic, which are non-demon caused, and sicknesses which are. Bible will say, now there was a woman whose sickness was caused by a demon, assuming that there are many which were not. And not every sickness, and not every case of mental illness in the New Testament is dealt with as demon possession. You see that? But all kinds are. We find the demons causing a person to be dumb, not able to speak, Matthew 9. Blindness, Matthew 12. Insanity, Luke 8. Suicidal mania, Mark 9. Personal injuries are caused, Mark 8. Physical deformities, Luke 13. Even gave supernatural strength to the Gadarene demoniacs, Luke 8. And the Bible indicates that, follow this very closely, that God allows demons to afflict us. He allows them sometimes for his own purposes. That God allows the demon world to afflict us physically, sometimes for our good. Listen to this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The chapter begins, and Paul is writing about terrible men who are committing terrible sins in the Corinthian church. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. And he goes down to verse 5, speaking of this person. I have decided, Paul says, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, brother, that's... when you start exegeting that text, you're in deep water. You better put your hip boots on. But here's what it seems to be saying. It obviously is saying that Paul has said, I have decreed, and Paul could say this by apostolic authority, even though a man today could not say it, that Paul, with the special prerogatives of the apostle, could say, I have decided to let him be afflicted by Satan physically in order that he might possibly repent and not lose his soul. Now, we know that God permits sickness sometimes, whether demon-caused or not, for our own good. Paul prayed three times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed, and the answer of God was, my grace is sufficient for thee. God decided that Paul was better off hurting. Now keep that in mind the next time you blame God when somebody's sick or dying. Why did God allow this to happen? Well, very possibly God does allow it to happen, but the why is lost in the mind of God. All things work together for the good of God's children, and we ought not question God. Paul says, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the chastening, apparently. In other words, his body would be afflicted. In order that, there's a possibility his soul might be saved. He might repent. You know, sometimes pain causes people to repent. Sometimes nobody looks up until they get flat on their back. Now, I won't develop that. That's another theme, but I want us to see this. Now, permitted influence leads to possession. If we actively or passively surrender to evil influence, to the evil influence of the demon world, the right to run the program of our lives, pretty soon the demons will be in charge. Now, when I say actively or passively, I'm coming to something very important, and I want all the teenagers to listen to this especially, that we can be powerfully persuaded and perhaps even temporarily or even permanently possessed by Satan when we open the door of the Spirit in a passive way. Now, we'll run that by you again. The Bible teaches, and reality shows us, that we can be powerfully persuaded or perhaps even possessed by Satan, where he takes possession of the body, works out his will using our members. And he might do this temporarily or might do it permanently. I'm convinced that many people who are in insane asylums, who are now in insane asylums, they are mentally ill, but their mental illness is caused by demon possession. And the Bible teaches that Satan, one of the things that Satan does is he possesses people to kill themselves. Satan is a murderer and a liar. And we do not have to wake up one morning and suddenly say, well, you know what I've decided? I've decided to be demon-possessed. We do not have to do it in an active way. We can do it in a passive way. Now, there are active ways to do it. Spiritualism is an active way to do it. Modern spiritualism, this thing of speaking with the dead, is an active way in which men and women become possessed by Satan. The modern spiritualist movement. And by the way, seances are being held in Hamilton almost every night. Did you know that? It's a very popular thing, seances. People who practice the mediumistic arts of supposedly, if they think, talking to the dead. They're not talking to the dead at all. They're talking to demons who are impersonating the dead. Because the Bible teaches that the dead cannot pass over. Read Luke 16. When you're leaving this world, you're gone from this world. And God does not allow them to come back. But modern spiritualism began when Kate and Margaret Fox in Hydesville near Rochester, New York, in the middle of March 1848. Now, this is modern spiritualism. Spiritualism is a very old thing. It comes from the ancient religions of the world. But the modern revival of it began in upstate New York, when these two young ladies, very young girls, 11 and 14, Kate and Margaret Fox, began hearing knockings in their house, on the floors and in the walls. Finally, one of them, Kate, got the nerve to ask this unseen power to repeat the snaps of her fingers. She spoke to this power that was obviously there, and she said, every time I snap my fingers, you knock. And lo and behold, every snap of her finger was answered by a knock. Well, the news spread, and the first complete message that was received through the demon who possessed one of the Fox sisters was this. Dear friends, you must proclaim, now this is the message from the demon world. Dear friends, you must proclaim these truths to the world. This is the dawning of a new era, and you must not try to conceal it any longer. When you do your duty, God will protect you, and the good spirits will watch over you. What new revelation were they to teach and to accept and to make known? Well, Mrs. Emmy Cadwallader, who writes in the Progressive Thinker, which is the leading publication of the spiritualistic religion, says this. This is what she said. This is the tenets of her religion, of their religion. And you know it, if you study spiritualism, you see that they all believe this. I denounce the following. The vicarious atonement. The cross, you see. The doctrine of eternal punishment. The literal resurrection of the body. The virgin birth of Jesus. The infallibility of the Bible, and so on. You cannot be a Christian and go to seances. You cannot be a Christian and have a part in spiritism or spiritualism, whichever it's called. Call both. It is a religion. They get together. They sing hymns, sometimes Christian hymns, to the spirits. They pray. It is a recognized religion. They have Sunday school called Lyceums, and they meet and they teach their children how to do this. It is a recognized religion in the world and in America. This movement spreads in the Fox Sisters all over the world. And by the way, these Fox Sisters went into this. They lost all moral responsibility. They took the drink and died cursing God. Did you know that? Those are the founders of the modern spiritualistic movement. And this is a case of demon possession. And the medium, the one who is possessed by the demon is allowed by this person, encouraged by this person, begged by this person to possess them. The demon uses the mouth, even the voice changes, the gestures of the hands change, the face changes, so what that person actually looks like, that departed dead person that the demon is impersonating. And this person is called a medium. Leviticus 20:27 says, "As for a man or a woman, if there is a medium or a spiritist among them, they shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones, their blood guiltiness be upon them." Deuteronomy 18, "When you enter the land which the Lord God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. One who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whosoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you." If you practice these things, if we get involved in these things, we are doing the very thing that the Canaanites were doing, for which God allowed them and commanded them to be destroyed down to the last child. It's detestable in the eyes of God. So here we have, you follow me? Here we have a case of a person courting demon possession. But I'm convinced that a person can be, I think the evidence is there, can be strongly persuaded or even possessed, either temporarily or permanently, by a demon in a passive way. That is, not intending to be. Because any time that we surrender the discipline of our will, any time that we take our will and put it aside and throw our spirit, our subconscious mind, open to whoever wants to come in and hold court, we are in danger of being possessed by demons. You see, you do not have to go to the front door and whistle them up. All you have to do is leave the door open. And sometimes they'll come in. The Bible teaches that religion, true religion, the Christian religion, is a religion of the sound, disciplined, understanding mind. Trance, this thing of the trance that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, has no part in the Christian religion. The thing of the trance, and that all trance is for a person, whether actively or passively, whether they meant to or not, gets into a situation, certain things are done, which I'll get into in just a moment. I realize our time is gone, but I want to handle this tonight. In which the conscious mind, the will, that which decides what we're going to do and not going to do, is put aside. When a person is in a trance, that's all that happens. You ever see hypnotists work? They put the conscious mind to sleep. They put the will of the person to sleep, and then that person does whatever the hypnotist says. I saw a man one time have a needle pushed all the way through his hand. And it did not hurt because he had been commanded by the hypnotist not to hurt. I saw him, the same fellow, eat a big old Bermuda onion. Man was up there, he could smell it 10 rows back. And he was told it was a big old Washington apple. And boy, he just smacked his lips and ate that thing. Why could he do that? Because he had voluntarily surrendered his will. He had left the door open. And when the door is open, anybody wants to come in. Now, we can do this whether we intend to do it or not. Loud, and it's been proven by those who worship demons in an active way and by those who get caught up in demon persuasion and possession in a passive way, that is, didn't intend to. This can be done through loud, rhythmic music. This is why, teenagers, that young people will go to these dances where you have loud, rhythmic music with flashing lights, which is a common device of a hypnotist, the flashing strobe lights, that a person is subjected to this loud, rhythmic, deafening music accompanied by flashing lights, while those young people sometimes, after they leave that situation, will do things they never in this world planned on doing. Commit sexual immorality. I've read many cases where young people, they would dance for an hour and then they would simply tear up the house. I read one case in upstate on the eastern coast, where they did over $50,000 damage to a mansion, and they couldn't, and not a one of them the next day could tell why they did it. They were all good kids. But then they had rock music for about 3 or 4 hours, and something took over. And they did what they had never decided to do. It produces a trance situation, whirling lights, the constant reiteration of a word or a phrase. And I'm convinced that this is done in religious services sometimes. And all claim is from the Spirit of God. Hear me. Demons cause people to faint and to roll and to foam at the mouth and to scream and to utter gibberish. The Spirit of God never caused anybody to do that ever. And I think it's a situation where people have just opened the door. They've just opened the door, and when the door left open, anybody can come in wants to. Drugs do this. I'm convinced this is one of the greatest dangers of marijuana, is that it opens the door to demon persuasion and even possession. Because what these drugs do, even the lighter drugs, those drugs which are considered to be less harmful, what they do is they put to sleep the conscious mind. They put it out of the way. They deaden it, leaving the spirit open to whoever wants to suggest. And this is where demons come in. Well, I think we all get the message. There is such a thing. There's demon persuasion, demon worship, demon possession. And we do not have to choose it to have it. The Word of God tells us that our minds are to be disciplined. True religion is of a sound mind, a mind that's aware, that's taught, and a mind that's in control of the situation and under control of the spirit. Hear me. You do not have to go into a trance to be led by the Spirit of God. Do you get that? You do not have to be in a rhythmic service, whether it's religious or non-religious, and clap your hands for an hour and sing 25 verses of the same song to be led by the Spirit of God. All you have to do is read the Bible and pray. And anybody that has enough, that's what the faith healers do. They have to have some. I've been to their meetings. Well, they've got to have 45 minutes of loud rhythmic music or they can't do a thing. I never saw one yet just walk in and could start working with people when they first got there. Why? Well, I think we understand what's going on here. And so, how can we have victory over the satanic world? As I said this morning, Satan has been judged. Now, judgment is upon this world. Now, the ruler of this world shall be cast out. John 12:31. Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. You hear that? The apostles came back and they were hooping and hollering. Why? They said, well, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And if we are in Christ, we can be absolutely free from the fear of demons. If we just use a little common sense. If we are in Christ, we are standing on safe ground. Since the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, Satan has been restricted more than he ever was, and he is absolutely helpless in the presence of one who can pray in Jesus' name and speak with authority in Jesus' name. Remember the seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19, where these sorcerers came and they tried to cast out demons, exorcists, demon cleansers, and they saw Paul could really do it. So they spoke to a demon-possessed man and said, we command you to come out of this man in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. They saw how they did it, in Jesus' name. Now, they didn't get away with it because the demon said, now, Jesus we know and Paul, but who'd you say you were? Then the man leaped upon them and beat them, and the seven sons of Sceva fled out of the house naked and bleeding. But the point I was making was that they saw how the apostles did it in Jesus' name. You see that? What a wonderful thing it is to be in Christ. Even though when we see what the Bible teaches about the demon world, isn't it a good thing to know that Satan and his minions are absolutely helpless in the face of one who knows Jesus? Helpless. How can I avoid being influenced by Satan? Satan is constantly after the Christian. He has to be resisted. He's like a roaring lion. He'll come back time and time again. Most of the dirty, filthy things you've done in your life, you did at the suggestion of Satan. You did it because he opened the door. He suggested it. And of course, the solution to this is to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And to remember the story Jesus told about the man who was possessed of demons and he was cleansed. He kept the house cleansed and garnered. Didn't even never moved anybody else in. The demon came back and said, huh, I don't know why this apartment go. It's got an ocean view and the rent's low. And he came back and brought seven others with him, worse than he was, and the second state of the man was worse than the first. Now, what Jesus was teaching by that was this, that your life must be filled with the things of God, or it'll be filled with the things of Satan, because there isn't any other force working on us. See that? It can be in Christ, and we, in the name of Christ, can resist the devil.
Jesus has saved me, Jesus.